Stay tuned for details on the biggest discount ever on my Paranormal Plus Club a few minutes into the show.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. One of the great questions in my mind when it comes to the paranormal is this idea of being able to communicate with dead relatives, friends, loved ones. I think it's utterly fascinating. And for the most part, I would say to me, it's one of the most interesting parts of paranormal studies. And we have a great person to discuss that with today. Our guest is Mark Anthony. He is the psychic lawyer. He's a psychic medium specializing in communication with spirits. He's descended from a long line of psychics and mediums that have been helping people connect with deceased loved ones for over 100 years. His recent book is Never Letting Go, Heal Grief with Help from the Other Side, and it's the definitive guide to healing grief with help from the other side. So we're very much looking forward to talking to Mark. And as we said, he's also a successful attorney and certified mediator licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. Very impressive. Mark Anthony, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
So let me ask you, this is such an interesting background. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of communicating with the other side, I want to talk a little bit about your family history. Now, a lot of times we talk to people who say, I came from a family that didn't believe in any of this stuff. But it sounds like your family was deeply in touch with spirituality. Tell us about this, because I find that fascinating.
On both sides of my family, on my father's side and on my mother's side, psychic and mediumistic ability runs for generations. And I've done research on them, and going back to my dad's side, we can track it to around 1910, to my mom's side about 1890. And I would assume it goes back farther than that. It's just that it's, you know, the records are fragmentary before that. So I grew up in a household where seeing spirits was not an unusual thing, or having premonitions of future events. And I never thought it was weird or unusual. And what was nice about growing up in this environment is that when my psychic ability began to emerge around the age of 4, I was not chastised because of it, like a lot of my colleagues who are also mediums.
So they kind of welcomed it in and said, go for it, basically?
Well, Mom did. Dad, not so much. And the reason for that is my mother's side of the family, they were Italian Catholics. And her family came over, around, I guess, around between 1900 and 1920. And with them, they looked at it as a gift from God, and it was a very spiritual thing. And in that culture, it was looked at as like a gift. Whereas in my dad's family, it wasn't so much looked at as a gift, even though there are people that practiced it. And in the early 1950s, my father's sister, he had three sisters, but one of them was institutionalized against her will because she was able to see the future and because she could detect the presence of spirits. In fact, they even subjected her to electroshock therapy over a period of 6 months. It was horrifying. And my family, I remember them telling me this story when these guys, literally in white coats, it's like right out of an old horror movie, they came to her home in the middle of the night, and she kicking and screaming, they wrestled her to the floor, put her in a straitjacket, and then took her off to, back then, what they called the madhouse. And it was really unfair, because my dad, when he saw that I had invisible friends, which obviously he could see and my mother could see, around age 4, he sat me down and he said, you must not tell anybody outside of the family about this, because people will think you're crazy. Because, you know, some years before, what they had done to his sister.
Right.
It's just terrifying that it, still even in parts of the world, in the Islamic world, in Saudi Arabia, somebody was just put to death for practicing, I guess they called it witchcraft. But from what I can tell from the news article, she was basically using herbal remedies, holistic healing. And then recently somebody was threatened to be beheaded because they were a psychic medium. So this persecution still goes on. And, I mean, you know, I've been ridiculed by it about 2 weeks ago. In a local conservative talk radio show, they were making fun of me. And I really don't care because to me, I look at them as they're in a different level of their spiritual development.
Right.
And I'm not saying that I'm better or you know, somehow superior to them, but I'm in a different place. And the people that are making fun of me, number one, don't understand what I do. Number two, wouldn't even make an effort to try to understand. And number three, why do I care? And I don't.
You know, it's interesting. There's certain people who will shut off immediately when you talk about these things. And the answer is, it's devil's work. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. And at some point, I think we all have to live our lives to what we think is right and what is proper for us, and say, oh, well, you're never going to please all of the people. Luckily, we still live in a country where we can do that. Unfortunately, as you said, some people in some parts of the world don't, and hopefully sometime that will change. Let's hope. I do want to ask one more question about your background before we delve into the meat of the discussion here. You're obviously an attorney. It's very impressive that you're licensed to practice before the U.S. Supreme Court. That was pretty cool. Question is, how do you reconcile that role, or do you? Do the two worlds ever overlap between that of as a professional practitioner of the law and your psychic gifts?
Both my career as an attorney and my God-given gift as a medium overlap all the time. And people ask, well, how can that be? It's like being right-handed. It's just a skill. It is an ability that I've been given. And I look at both careers as involving evidence. As a lawyer, I have to produce evidence to substantiate my case. As a medium, and if people want to see what I do on my website, which is neverlettinggo.com, the same title as my book, Never Letting Go, there's a video series where I was doing gallery readings before several dozen people, and they were filmed and made up into, you know, small segments, so you can see what I do, because I practice what's known as evidential mediumship. So if I just say to somebody, oh yes, you know, your son's here and he loves you, that doesn't prove anything. But when I start talking about specific things, unique items, personality traits, shared memories, songs that he liked, each one of those pieces of evidence validate and substantiate my case as a medium. So the way I look at it, Jim, is both careers are actually related because they both depend on evidence.
Do you ever get, does your mediumship ever help you with your law practice in the sense that you get a hunch about something, or you see something that leads you down a path that you might eventually prove out through more conventional means?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, we're all psychic to varying extents. You know, I mean, a lot of people say, well, can I develop what you do? And it's like me going up to Michael Phelps and go, hey, do you think I could win 20 medals in the Olympics for swimming? because we all have different skills and abilities. I can swim, but let me tell you, I'm never going to be Michael Phelps. And so people are all sensitive to things, but with psychics, in psychic mediums, we have an intensified sensitivity to things. So I do pick up on hunches and on perceptions. In the first chapter of my book, Never Letting Go, I talk about during jury selection. Jury selection is the portion of a trial before the evidence begins to be introduced. And jury selection is extremely important because both the prosecution and the defense, I was on the defense side, have to have a fair and impartial jury. And during jury selection, I kept getting a strange feeling about this one juror that I call in the book Juror Number 9. and I felt a female presence, a spirit associated with juror number 9. And I felt this tightening around my throat, like an obstruction with breathing. Mm-hmm. My client was on trial for a battery. He was just sort of a, you know, a big rough and tumble guy. I got in a fight with another guy, barroom brawl. So it wasn't some weird, creepy, predatorial thing. It was just, you know, two rednecks duking it out. And I mean, I live in Melbourne, Florida, so it's not like this was our one fight for the year. And but I knew that I had to find out if this juror had any bias toward crimes of violence. So I asked her, I said, do you or has anyone in your family been the victim of a violent crime? And this poor woman just broke down in tears and she began to shake. And she said, a year ago, my sister was in a foreign country when an escaped mental patient strangled her. And then dismembered her body and threw it in a dumpster.
Oh, my Lord.
And I'm standing there, and I see her sister's spirit, and everybody's looking at me, and now I know why I feel the tightening around my throat, because that's how the spirit was letting me know. And my client's looking at me like, dude, what are you doing? and everyone's like, Mark, you got to do something. And literally, I had a foot in both worlds, because I knew I had to deliver a message from the other side for this spirit, but I also had an obligation to my client. And if the listeners want to find out what happens, you have to read Never Letting Go.
That's a pretty cool story. I love that. I love that story. Well, when we get back, I want to talk more about communicating with those on the other side. Where are they? Where is the other side? We'll have more of that when we're back with Mark Anthony on the Paranormal Podcast. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. So glad you decided to tune in. I hope I make it worth your while, because I'm going to tell you about a deal that I've never done before for the Paranormal Plus Club, and I think it's pretty cool. Now, quite frankly, it's holiday time, so being at this point, as of right now, the sole support for my family. My wife had a job and now doesn't have that job, so I'm pretty much it until she gets another one. Hopefully that'll be starting soon, but we'll see. But nevertheless, I had to figure out, well, what can I do that would be a great deal for my audience and help out my family? So here is what I came up with. This is only good through November 30th, and only for the first 100 people who take advantage of it. So act quickly. A $20 discount on a yearly Paranormal Plus membership. That's a $20 discount for a yearly Paranormal Plus membership. That is a steep, steep discount. And that's if you go in and go over to jimherald.net, add it to your cart, and then use the coupon code THANKS. That is the coupon code THANKS that'll knock off $20 off of the yearly membership. We wanted to make this a very limited thing, and we wanted to give you something that you could say, hey, you know, I've been listening for a long time. I want to support Jim. I want to get more great content, 500-plus shows, access to paranormal courses, great paranormal forums, and much more. And we think that this is a perfect time to jump in. So we're thankful for you. We hope that you'll be thankful for what it is that we do here, that we can continue doing it for you full time. So check out that Paranormal Plus yearly discount membership, $20 off. If you are one of the first 100 to use that coupon code, THANKS, before the end of the day on November 30th. Thanks so much.
Can't get enough paranormal content? Sign up for monthly webinars, newsletters, and more shows. Join the Paranormal Plus Club at jimherald.net.
Our guest is Mark Anthony. The book is Never Letting Go. And we're having a fascinating discussion about communicating with those on the other side, loved ones and so forth, which is one of Mark's many talents. Mark, when we talk about communicating with people on the other side, that phrase, the other side of life, the afterlife, what is it? Where are they? Or where? What different places are they? These people we're communicating with, what form are they in? Where are they coming from?
The other side is an immensely complex concept for us to grasp. And the best way I can describe it, and I'm actually working on this right now. It's funny that you should ask, because today I'm working on my next book. And I call it a collective consciousness with the ability to disconnect. And what that means is when we die, we know that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred. So the energy mm-hmm. that makes us alive transfers to the other side. In other words, it doesn't disintegrate because it can't. It cannot be destroyed. And the big question is, what does the energy take with it? And the energy takes with it our memories, our personality, our likes, our dislikes, who we are. So, and I say this in Never Letting Go, when you die, you take you with you. So when you die, you go to what I call the other side. And the other side is another dimension, which runs parallel to this one. Everything in the universe vibrates. It has some form of vibration, cellular activity, energetic activity. We are living in a dimension that I refer to as the material world because it has physical substance to it. And that makes our dimension unique. Whereas when your body ceases to function and your energy transfers out of this container, this body that we're in, then you go into an energetic dimension. But it's not quite that simple because from what I can tell, from what many of the great religions in the world and from what quantum physics seems to indicate, there are many dimensions, there are many universes, there's multiverses. So the other side has probably an infinite array of levels and frequencies to it. It, you know, and people say, well, that sounds far-fetched, but we know that what we can see with our eyes, with our human eyes, is barely a fraction of what's in the spectrum. The visible spectrum is the light that we can see. We can't see X-rays, gamma rays, cosmic rays. We can't see infrared. There's a whole spectrum, an immense spectrum of what we cannot see. So the other side has many levels, frequencies, and dimensions to it. So I refer to mediumship as interdimensional communication because as a medium, what I'm doing is I'm adjusting my brainwave frequency to a much higher vibration. Spirits are able to see this, and so what they do is they slow their vibration down and you get a frequency match. It's like tuning in a radio. You go from, on an FM dial, you go from 89.5 up to 101.5. Spirits bring their vibration from station 107.9 down to 101, 101.5, and you get a frequency match. So I hope that answers your question. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version of what is the other side. It's energy, it's frequency, it's multidimensional, and it's pretty much beyond our ability to perceive and to fully comprehend it. So when I engage in interdimensional communication, yes, I can communicate with spirits, but I'm only getting a drop in the Pacific Ocean bucket of what it really is.
When you communicate with them, is it clairaudience? I mean, is it through a form of telepathy? How do they communicate with you, and what kind of things do they say?
Great question. First off, how do they communicate? Spirits are energy, and I mean they're a person, they're consciousness. But imagine a person without a body and an enhanced version of a person. They vibrate frequency to me. That frequency interfaces with my body's energy, and that frequency then kind of goes into my brain. So in that sense, it's telepathic, and through my energy field, I take this in, it goes into my brain, and I translate the concepts and the feelings into recognizable information. Mm-hmm. And I do it through the form of visual images, which would be clairvoyance, seeing, clairaudience, I hear things, and clairsentience, which is physical sensations. So I see, hear, and feel the vibration. And people say, well, that sounds really far-fetched, you know, telepathy. But think about what we're doing right now. I'm talking into a microphone, and my body is expelling air, and my vocal cords are basically like two strings that are vibrating sounds of varying frequency and amplitude, whereas if you didn't speak English, you wouldn't know what, it would just be gibberish.
Right.
But, okay, so I'm doing that. I'm speaking into a microphone, which is now taking this, running it through wires, fiber optics, then bouncing off a satellite, okay, through radio waves, and spewing out of your speakers.
Now, yes.
That sounds pretty far-fetched and bizarre, and 150 years ago, that would have been science fiction.
I love that analogy, and I often say this, and people that have listened to my shows for the last 7 years will be sick of this, but I often say the paranormal doesn't necessarily need to be something inexplicable, but it's something inexplicable to a certain extent to us now. It's the old Arthur C. Clarke thing about technology. Sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. I mean, all of this could have another dimension. I mean, scientists right now have pretty much said there is the multiverse. So I love the way that you put that, because if you show an iPhone to somebody from 200 years ago, they'd think you were the devil. You know, I mean, it's amazing how much we've progressed, but how far we have not progressed. And that's how I think we trick ourselves. Sometimes I think we think we're smarter than we really are.
Well, I mean, we'll hop on an airplane. Okay, this big contraption that flies off into the sky, and you can go from New York to London in what, like, you know, 4.5-5 hours. All right. Now, let's go back to, I guess, I'm trying to remember when the locomotive, when trains were invented. Let's say 1830. I'm just going to pull a date out of the air. Well, it was theorized. People were terrified to get on a train because they were afraid that it would go so fast, it would suck all the air out of the passenger compartment and kill everybody. And mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, we'll hop in a car and go 90 miles an hour. Well, we shouldn't. And as a lawyer, I must advise everyone, do not do that. But assuming you're going 55 miles an hour, I mean, there was a time when they were, they meaning mainstream society, was afraid that if you got on this newfangled contraption known as a train and it took off, it would go with such force that it would create a vacuum in the passenger car and suffocate everybody. But now, I mean, we don't even think twice about jumping into an airplane and flying across the country or across the world. So just because something may seem like science fiction, or it may not seem realistic or easily explainable, doesn't mean it isn't true. I mean, in 1850, radio waves were a theory. By 1900, they were a reality. So, you know, people say, well, we haven't invented a machine yet to communicate with the other side. Well, God already has. That would be mediums. That would be human beings who have the physiological equipment, the pineal gland and the ganglia mass in our solar plexus, which we believe are the receptor areas for these frequencies that are around us, to take these vibrations and then translate them into recognizable information. And Thomas Edison, thinking along those lines, an incredible genius along the lines of Leonardo da Vinci, he was actually working on what has been euphemistically referred to as the spirit phone, because he theorized that the other side, heaven, whatever you would like to call it, was merely frequency. And if you develop this device sensitive enough, you could tune into that frequency.
Now, I think I cut you off before you finished the part about what they say. What kind of things do they say to you?
It's amazing what spirits will communicate. What I do in my readings is I tell people, check your expectations at the door. Let the spirits communicate. Because some people come in, they have a list of like, you know, 57 questions, and they want to know this, that, and the other thing. And it's like sometimes they'll open up for questions, but let's listen to what they have to say. Normally, In spirit communication, it's a process of building. Spirits send waves of frequency. I mean, first I'll get a gender. Secondly, an idea of the relationship to the person, like child or parent or, you know, spouse, whatever. Then I'll start seeing things about the person. So basically, the spirit initially sends me information, identifiers, pieces of evidence to establish who that person is. Then I'll start getting memories, shared memories between the person on the other side and the person here, likes, dislikes. They may talk about things going on in that person's life. It's so funny. Recently, I was doing a reading for this woman. All of a sudden, I said, "You have ceiling fan." This was a phone reading, so she was on the phone with me. And I said, "Your mother's spirit is talking about the wiring in your house and how you really need to be careful with it." And the lady says, "Oh my God, my husband was just saying that the other day, that we probably need to get all new wiring." And then I said, "Now this is going to sound real weird." And she says, "Stay away from a pogo stick." And the lady started laughing. She goes, "Oh my God, we were thinking about getting a pogo stick for our daughter, but we thought, well, it may not be good because maybe she'll fall off it and break her leg." Now,
wow.
How would I know stuff? I don't know these people. I don't know these things. And so what the spirit is doing in that particular context is saying, "Hey, look, I'm around, and this is what's going on with you." Then other times there's messages of love, healing, and resolution, because not all contact is because you had a happy relationship. Then other time it is. So it's as diverse and infinite as a conversation that you could have with anybody on the planet. So I'm always surprised, because to me, I never know what's going to happen, and I'm just as fascinated as the client receiving the message. What is it going to be?
When you get these messages and you're sitting there with the loved one, or you're doing it over the phone, do you ever find yourself censoring something, or do you just give it to them straight, whatever these people on the other side are saying?
I've found that giving what I get is the best way to go. I've also learned that spirits are not going to do anything to hurt somebody. They are not going to embarrass you. Like when I do a reading in front of a whole crowd of people, they're not going to give anything of an embarrassing nature. And so you give what you get, because usually the more bizarre it is, or the more off the wall, the better it is. And the best example that I can think of, well, there's several I can think of, but the best one that I like to use is doing a reading for somebody, and it was this husband and wife, and it was their son who had been killed tragically in a car accident. And all of a sudden, the very last thing I heard was, "I met Michael Jackson." And, you know, when you hear something like that, you think, oh, well, this is kind of corny, and maybe that's my mind. But I went ahead and said it. And all of a sudden, the stillness that flooded the room was just amazing. And they're looking at me, and then they look at each other, and then they look back at me, and the husband said, "Nobody knows this, but, you know, when we left our son's funeral," he goes, "and by the way, we played a Michael Jackson song at his funeral." And I thought, well, maybe that's what they're getting at. He goes, "No, there's much more than that. We're driving home, and my wife said, 'I wonder, will he meet Michael Jackson in heaven?'"
Wow. Wow. Ooh,
yeah.
Goosebumps.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, because to me, it's just as big as a surprise. And she said, "We never breathed a word of that to anyone." And so in that moment, that was such a powerful message for a number of reasons. You know, the biggest fear when somebody you love dies is that they've disintegrated and ceased to be. But now their son let them know that not only does he live on, but he was with them on that very painful day. And so I remember them walking out of there, and they both hugged me, and they said, "Thank you." You know, it's like a burden has been lifted. And so that's what the whole point of being a medium is about. It's about helping people heal. And granted, Jim, you know, a reading isn't going to make somebody, you know, feel 100% better about the death of a loved one. But it's an important part of getting through the grieving process, and it's an important step on the journey through grief.
It occurs to me, with your background, your legal background, you're probably more aware than most that there are charlatans out there, and people who claim to talk to the dead, and all they're doing is enriching themselves. How would you tell people listening to this program, if they're thinking about visiting with a psychic or a medium, how can they protect themselves against that? Because goodness knows there's probably quite a bit of it out there.
That's an excellent question. Actually, I just did we just filmed an entire series in NBC Miami with Justin Finch, who's one of the investigative reporters, because there's a group of people of the Roma culture, normally referred to as gypsies in South Florida, who are bilking people out of millions of dollars in these fraud schemes. And as a lawyer, I find that reprehensible. As a medium, I find it even more so. But then again, as a lawyer, I also see that the gypsies are asserting the First Amendment freedom of religion, and they're saying that, well, you know, yeah, we're taking money from people, but don't all religions. But for the person, the person out there who is looking for a medium, if you go to somebody and they start this, you know, your son's spirit is tortured and trapped, and only I can help you help him for $500 three times a week, you know, so $1,500 a week. If they start telling you there's a curse upon you that only they can get lifted, if they start telling you that you need to have a contract with them and God, it has to be top secret. In other words, if you go to a psychic or a medium that tries to rope you in and get you coming multiple times in a very short period of time, then it's a fraud, it's a hoax. Secondly, this, oh, your aura is haunted and there's a negative energy attached to you. I mean, that is such hogwash, and I hear this garbage all the time. And so anybody that preys upon your fears and says that, oh, so-and-so's soul will be destroyed unless you give me X amount of dollars, a legitimate medium will never do that. That's control, that's manipulation, that's charlatanism. What I tell people is, all right, if you have a reading with me, then at least give at least 6 months if you want to come back. And I don't encourage people to come back. If they want to, they can. But nothing spiritual is controlling. And, you know, you also don't want to turn into a psychic junkie where, you know, I mean, I've had people call me up and say, well, I need to talk to my mother's spirit because I'm thinking of changing the color of my hair. And like, you know, I need to know if my mother thinks it should be red or brown. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You want to contact the other side to see if it's okay to dye your hair a different color? And that right there, that has gone beyond a need for mediumship into an obsessive disorder with the death of a loved one. And so there's a whole lot of things to look out for. And the charlatans are looking for the people who want to talk to their mom to see if they should cut their hair or dye it a different color. So, you know, you are responsible for your own behavior as much as these people are looking to suck you in to their schemes and their plots.
Interesting. So on the flip side of that, if somebody is interested and they've taken these things into heart and they want to maybe approach you for a reading, how does all of that work? How do you just take on certain people? Can people inquire via your website? How does that work?
If people are interested in having a reading with me, my website, neverlettinggo.com, there's a section on the website called Schedule a Reading, and I ask people, please read the whole form. Because what happens is, even though it says in big letters at the top, please read this whole page, they go right to the form, and then they ask me questions which have already been answered. Okay.
I've seen that a time or two myself in some of the things I do.
I know, and you know,
people are just so anxious.
That.
They're very anxious to get to the content.
I know, they'll say, well, how long are the readings? How much are the readings? It's like, well, if you read the whole form, it would tell you all that. But the vast majority of people don't do that. But what I'm saying is you can go to the schedule a reading section on my website, Never Letting Go, and it will explain. And the reason I want people to read that, because maybe a reading isn't for you. Maybe this isn't what you want. And then people contact me and they want to know about their future and their love life and their career, and that's not what I do. I specialize in spirit communication. Now, if we get your grandmother or somebody else, you know, spirit come through, and then you want to know about those things, and maybe they'll shed some light on it. But generally, that's not the crux of the reading. And also on my website, you can find out about my book, Never Letting Go, and how to order it. It's on sale worldwide at Barnes & Noble and all fine bookstores. You can also order on Amazon.com. And you can look at my video series of the readings I've done, the television appearances that I have appeared on. And so neverlettinggo.com also has a grief management section for those of you who are suffering with the loss of a loved one. There's some advice and some suggestions on how to cope with the death of somebody that you love.
Well, as kind of a parting thought, I do want to ask you about that, because that is one of the most difficult things. I think most of us have lost someone close to us to varying degrees. You know, some people have had a ton of tragedy in their life. Some people have been fortunate, but almost everyone's lost someone very close to them. If somebody's going through that now, obviously, as you said, you can't totally assuage it. You can't totally balm that wound, even though people know that these folks are still around, just in a different form. But what would you say to them to say, you know, I understand your pain, but here's why you should not be as grief stricken, I suppose.
Jim, I don't know if you can tell somebody that they shouldn't be grief stricken, and I'm a firm believer in let people grieve. You know, a lot of people are like, shh, no, it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You know, your son died, your mother died, your spouse died, your grandmother died, your best friend died. I mean, somebody that meant the whole world to you has physically died, and you're not going to see them in the physical sense again. And grieving is not mental illness. The depression from grief is not mental illness. This is a part of life, and it is the most difficult part of life. And you have to grieve. And, you know, guys, we're the worst. You know, we got tear ducts and hearts and feelings and emotions for a reason. You know, so you should be able to grieve. But what you have to realize is that while grief is normal, becoming so obsessed with the death of somebody that the grief takes on a life of its own and it becomes your life, then that is a disorder known as complicated bereavement. And that's what you need to watch out for. It is normal to grieve. It is normal to be depressed. And it can take months, maybe even years, before you get to a point of inner peace. But you have to work toward that. And there is no magic bullet or special pill or magic wand or gypsy fortune teller that's going to get you to that point. It's a combination of fortitude, understanding, acceptance, and changing your perspective on what death really is.
Well, on that note, Mark Anthony, we thank you for being on the program. It's been a fascinating discussion. Certainly visit the site, pick up the book, everybody, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you tonight, Mark.
Thank you, Jim, and to all the listeners, God bless you.
Thank you very much for tuning into the Paranormal Podcast. We certainly appreciate it, and we will talk to you next time. Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.